Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Helping Heroes' new show on Blog Talk Radio, Tea Time with Tina. I'm your host, Michelle Bart, and for the next hour, our guests will take listeners on a journey of living beyond organic. We're coming live to you from Los Angeles, California today, and Christina and our guests will be taking your questions in a little bit. So if you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 347-838-8622. Again, that number is 347-838-8622. And if you have any questions for our guest today, please call in. You can also listen to us live from 3 to 4 Pacific time today at blogtalkradio.com/helpingheroes. Today we have Christina Avanis, who is the author of Living Beyond Organic. Christina helped her husband recover from a heart attack at the age of 48 through natural healing. He lowered his LDL cholesterol through healthy eating, and Christina also learned about the process in which she needed to write the book. This will be the first volume of many series to come, and I encourage you to take a look at her website at lborganic.com. Also with us is Dr. Mark Anthony, who has been a licensed chiropractor since 1981. He graduated from the Cleveland Chiropractic College. He is popular to corporate and public speaking, and in his free time, Dr. Anthony is a magician, and many of us in Los Angeles may have seen him at the Magic Castle in Hollywood. And just a couple little known facts about Dr. Anthony. He was a child actor, and he has sung and danced with Elvis Presley. So those are pretty fun facts to know about our guest today. He started college also at the age of 14 and is currently finishing his latest book, Accelerate Your Life, Get What You Want Faster. He's board certified, and he's also a certified hypotherapist. And we welcome both of our guests, Christina and Dr. Mark. Is that okay to call you Dr. Mark?
You can call me anything you want.
Okay. And folks wanting to learn a little bit more about Christina and Dr. Mark, again, lborganic.com and acwellnessandlongevity.com. Well, welcome to both of our guests, Christina and Dr. Mark. Welcome, and thank you for being with us today.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you so much for having us. I wanted to point out that to encourage your callers or your listeners to call in and talk with us about nutrition, living beyond organic, and chiropractic, and how all that works together, I would like to offer to the first three callers a complimentary autographed copy of Living Beyond Organic, and also invite them to log on to the website livingbeyondorganic.com, because that gives you a tremendous amount of information as well. So
wonderful. Okay, folks, Christina has just offered the first three callers today, and we've already got one on the line. So caller, just bear with us. For anybody else that would like to call in and ask your questions throughout the show, the number is 347-838-8622. Christina is a friend of mine, and we were thinking, you know, traditionally we started a show through Helping Heroes called Voices for Justice, and obviously, you know, we can all have a voice for justice where nutrition plays a factor, but this is a new show that we're trying to jumpstart and see if it takes off. So we're hoping that you folks will call in today and give us your opinion and ask your questions, because this book has been wonderful. A mutual friend of ours also got me to do a lot of the book, which I should say that the cover is beautiful. But it's nutritional knowledge redefined. So, you know, take a listen to the show. Join us today for questions and hopefully get the answers you're looking for. But in the meantime, we're going to ask our guests some questions, and hopefully they can answer what's on your mind and how we can all live beyond organic and basically not pay the expensive prices it is to doing any kind of organic lifestyle. Christina, let me start with you. Where did the inspiration, obviously I know personally because of Aura, but where did the inspiration for the book actually originate?
Well, it started actually when Aura had a heart attack. We were going about our lives, and we were eating what we thought was healthy. You know, we thought we were, you know, doing the right thing, eating organic chicken, skinless, only the breast, avoiding red meat, trying to basically living like the recommendations that are put out there in the media. I mean, we were pretty much what I would call sheeple. We were following along with everybody else. And we thought we were fine until one morning he had a heart attack, and then we were just in crisis overnight, and found out through a natural healer that all of his ailments, high LDL, high blood pressure, and, of course, heart disease, were all traceable back to our lifestyle and specifically what we were eating. And so really it was his heart attack that was the impetus for the book. It caused me to plunge into the world of nutrition. I studied with a natural healer. I studied Raphology medicine, which is an indigenous practice that focuses on the healing properties of food and herbs. So we were able to implement this information, eating healthy, to boost our organ function, and then taking herbal remedies to repair organ damage. And subsequently, he has 100% recovered, and his LDL that was 289 at the time of the heart attack is now below 100, fluctuating between 50 and 100. So it was just all due to the information that I was exposed to, and it caused me to want to share it with everyone to let you know that there is an alternative out there, that it does make a difference. It's one of the most important things that you can do for yourself is know what you're eating and how to prepare it and why.
Well, in the book, I believe that I've seen some testimonials from you, Dr. Mark. How did you two come to know each other, and was Aura actually a patient of yours, or how did that happen?
Well, Christina was referred to my office by another patient, and eventually she brought her whole family in. And one of the things I've always been frustrated as a healthcare practitioner is trying to teach patients the things they need to do in their daily life to prevent them from having to see me over and over again. And the most important thing really is what they put into their body, because their body uses it not only for fuel, but to actually create their body. And I was just amazed at the insight that Christina had just gained through the personal experiences that she just described. And the fact that she was able to put it in such a beautiful form in the book, and she has such energy and passion in communicating that information to other people, has made it very accessible to the public and really made my job a lot easier.
Christina,
yes.
In regards to what the doctor had just said, you did put a lot of things in the book, and by a lot of the things that I have read, I know that you focus on a lot of the 10 things to avoid, and I can say I'm a culprit of this. Mm-hmm. As most people that know me know, I've been living with rheumatoid arthritis since I was 17 and fibromyalgia, and I just had a complete hip replaced. So for me, a lot of the things that you say to avoid are convenience, like the refined sugars or the white stuff. Like, and my doctors have always told me, believe it or not, rheumatologists will always say, you know, the white stuff, such as sugar and flour and white rice and things of that nature, try to go brown. With the list of stuff, what are you, why is it so important to stay away from the margarines, the canola oil, peanut butter, things of that nature?
Well, I will tell you this, that the key to living beyond organic is about alkalizing the body, okay? And how we accomplish that is by eating foods that are high in enzymes, because it's the enzyme content of foods that helps us to flush out toxins, neutralize acidity, and absorb the nutrients from the foods that we're eating. What happens when we eat enriched products, and what I mean by that is the over-processed, white, refined sugars and flours and oils, is that they are completely devoid of nutrients in the first place. Forget about enzymatic properties. And so these literally are toxins that you're taking into the body, and the body can do two things. It either can try and eliminate the toxins, okay, flush them out, or it stores the toxins. What happens is when we are taking in an overwhelming amount of these toxins through refined sugars and flours and oils and margarine and shortening and peanut butter and iodized salt and all of these things, our body is on overload, cannot handle it at such a rapid rate, so the toxification, and so it begins to store these toxins in our fatty tissue. And so it causes a vicious circle. So in order to stop that toxicity and acidity rate, we need to avoid those foods, and we need to focus on the high enzyme foods that are going to help us to reverse that, neutralize that acidity, and flush out those toxins. So that's the primary reason. And the sad thing is that in the modern American diet, the majority of what we eat is all of these refined, as you put it, convenience-oriented foods. So when you go into the market and you pick up a loaf of bread, you have to read the label, because I'll tell you, there are breads out there that you can eat. You want to look for the sprouted grains. You want to look for barley, because these sprouted grains have the life force in them. They're usually in the refrigerated section, and they're usually the first thing you want to look for on the label is something that says that doesn't say enriched, because that right there is a red flag telling you that it has been refined. And what refined means is that this grain, this wheat or barley or whatever, has been processed in such a way that all of the nutrients have been extracted, and they need to reintroduce vitamins and minerals into it in order to provide some form of nutrition. So it's a very strange thing that we do in this country, but we do it primarily to increase shelf life. So it's reading the labels and knowing what to look for that you're going to find in Living Beyond Organic.
You know, Michelle, I have to jump
go
in
ahead,
here and just compliment Tina on just having such a great knowledge on alkalizing the body, because for most people I talk to, they have no concept of acid or alkaline and any of that relating to the body. Maybe their swimming pool, but not their body. And the body is designed to be alkaline. But with the American diet basically being very acid, what happens is your body has survival mechanisms, and it tries to create alkalinity in the body. And one of the ways it will do it, it will take out a lot of the alkalinity from the bile in the gallbladder, leaving behind crystalline formations, which is why we have so many of these gallbladders just being taken out. It has nothing to do with just gallbladders going bad. It has to do with the poor diet. And then once they take that out, your body has one less way of alkalizing, and then it goes to taking calcium from the diet and the bones, creating osteoporosis, because the calcium buffers the blood to keep it alkaline. And so this is why you have so many long-term chronic health problems, which is due to years and years and years of the diet. So your body can get away with eating a crappy diet, but it catches up and it causes tremendous, tremendous health problems later in life.
Yes, that's an excellent point, because you do have what is called enzyme potential. And so, but once you wear it out, once you, you know, from years and years of abuse, then, you know, you're not able to assimilate and flush out toxins on your own, and they build up quickly, and that causes the organ damage and deterioration and all of the disease. So absolutely, the first step, the first and most important step is what you eat.
It's almost as like your joints. If we misuse our joints and we have an active lifestyle, down the line, you might result in a knee replacement, things of that nature. I would think that whatever we put into our body And food should not be a luxury. Is that correct? It should be more of a necessity and energy.
Oh, I got to answer that one. This is where Christina's amazing. She's actually turned this healthy food into a luxury. She literally, you can eat everything you love, and it will taste great, and it will be good for you.
Yes.
Well, I'd have to agree with that. Those recipes in the book are fabulous. Even my grandmother eats it and doesn't know what she's eating.
Well, see, the thing is, yes, I think your point, Michelle, was that we need to first consider what we're eating to see if it's benefiting our body or not, and I think that's very important, and you are right. But what we do in Living Beyond Organic is we take that to the next level, and that is have it be good for you, first of all, but more importantly, taste delicious, because you know how we are. If it doesn't taste good, we're not going to do it. And so what I needed to do was appeal to people's taste buds and say, hey, health food doesn't have to taste like cardboard, okay? And because for so many years, people thought, equated healthy living with, you know, not tasty food. And so I tried to combine the two by really working with good-for-you ingredients and coming up with what I call food alchemy, which is literally taking all of my old favorite recipes that my family loved to eat, and then what I would do is transpose them into the ingredients that are good for you and create the flavors that they were used to, but without the ingredients that were harming them. And so this is what we call food alchemy, and when you read Living Beyond Organic, actually you end up becoming a food alchemist, because then you don't have to throw away all of your favorite cookbooks and everything. All you do is you go, oh, my gosh, if this recipe calls for white pastry flour, you just use organic whole wheat pastry flour, because there is a healthy alternative out there for absolutely everything. So
I love that word. I had never heard it until I met you. So,
Which one?
Alchemy.
Oh, well, I like it because you're taking, you know, something that's good and making it something better.
We have a caller from the San Gabriel Valley. Caller, you're on the line. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
My name is Sean, and I have a friend who told me about someone they knew who isn't very... is very sick. He can't eat dairy, and if he does, it gets so bad that they have to call the ambulance, and it's very bad. So I told him that I would, because I've been on the lifestyle for a couple months, and I felt better than ever, and it's really good. So I told him that I would figure out what to do, and the only milk that he can drink is rice milk. So I was wondering, what should I do? What would be good for him?
Sean, this is a great question. Because most people, and I have to tell you, you're going to hear the term lactose intolerance a lot with callers, because pretty much everybody is suffering from lactose intolerance, and it's because we assume that when we refer to milk, that our only choice is cow milk. And there are many, many studies, thank heavens, being released nowadays that cow milk is literally not digestible by the human body. Just in terms of a molecular structure, it is too big. You would have to have two stomachs to break it down. And so the healthy alternative, or the Living Beyond Organic alternative, is goat's milk. Goat's milk is actually 100% digestible, and it is the best source of organic calcium from a food, and it also helps us to chip away at the plaque that we build up from eating cow milk protein. And so really, your friend's problem is true for all of us. It's just that he's exhibiting the symptoms now. It's caught up with him. The rest of the people that are still drinking cow's milk haven't started with the symptoms, but it's the same thing. It's a buildup of toxins, and your body gets to a point where it can't deal with it anymore, and it starts to give you problems like what your friend is experiencing. So the first thing he wants to do is switch from, now you said he drinks, almond milk or rice milk?
Rice milk.
Rice milk. Okay, rice milk is good, But you want to be sure that it's not over-processed, okay? Because the over-processing and the sweetening and the things that a lot of companies do that that make it at best neutral, okay? So that's the first thing. So you want to look at what the source of the rice milk is. Make sure, of course, that it's made from brown rice, number one, and ideally organic brown rice. The other thing would be if he doesn't like, for example, the taste of goat's milk. A lot of people complain that they aren't happy with that at first and that it's an adjustment. He can definitely try almond milk, and almond milk is an excellent source of protein as well. Vitamin E gives you a lot of nutrients and without all of the deficiencies and acidic reaction that you're going to get from cow milk. So obviously, first step, eliminate the cow milk. Try the goat milk if he can, because that's the best choice. And then if not, second best choice would be almond milk or rice milk.
Now, where would he be able to find good rice milk, good almond milk, and goat's milk?
Okay. You can go to your local, if he lives in the California area, Trader Joe's does carry brands there. You have to read the labels, though, because I'll be honest with you, I've switched products so many times because we start out with a product that's great, and then they switch the ingredients. So you need to, even though you're used to buying a product out there, read the label every once in a while because those ingredients get switched. You can try Trader Joe's. You can try Whole Foods. And really, the most cost-effective way is to make your own almond milk, and I have a recipe for that in Living Beyond Organic.
And, Sean, actually, you were one of our first callers, so you'll actually get one of Living Beyond Organic, one of Christina's books. So I have the number you called in on, and we'll call you back after the show today to get an address of where to send that.
Oh, thank you. I've been trying to get one of those.
Well, now you have one, and you can also get your friend on the program as well. Do you have any other questions for Christina or Dr. Mark?
That's about it.
Okay, we're going to go to another caller. Thank you, Sean. Claudia, do you have a question?
Claudia, do you have a question?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can. Can you lower the speakers a little bit in the back?
A little bit of that.
Okay, sorry. Got better.
Are you there?
Okay.
Are you there?
Yes, sorry. I have a friend. I was just introduced to this book by another friend. Mentioning to a girl that has fibromyalgia. I'm looking for alternatives. And one of the things I just through browsing on those web pages, it had a list of foods to avoid, foods to eat. One of the foods to avoid were apples, and that's something that her doctor said she should eat a lot of. I forgot what it was in the apple that helped with her fibromyalgia, but I was wondering, you know, is it more beneficial for her to stay away from apples, or how does that apply for her?
I love this question are you getting feedback?
I'm getting a little feedback. Go ahead,
Hello?
Christina.
Okay.
Go ahead, girl.
So the most important thing to note about the fact that I avoid apples is first and foremost, apples and oranges specifically being part of the modern American diet, and in fact I would venture to say a staple of the modern American diet, I get a lot of resistance when I say that I don't eat them. The reason I don't eat them is because there are alternatives that are higher in enzyme content. So I avoid apples, but I eat pears instead because of their enzyme content, and I'll explain that. When you go to the market and you buy an apple, it's going to pretty much stay pristine for quite some time, even doesn't require refrigeration. But pears right off the bat start to decompose. You'll even notice they might have little brown. You have to look for ones that don't have brown spots on them, and then when you get them home, you either have to refrigerate them or eat them right away, and that's because of enzyme content. That is so key and so important because it actually helps you digest it. It has enough enzymes present in it to digest itself. So when you eat it, you don't have to kick in the extra digestive enzymes. It's already coming to the digestion party with its own enzymes. So this is the reason we focus on high-enzyme foods. So in Living Beyond Organic, the emphasis is on what I call super-enzyme foods. So we choose those first, and we avoid the ones that are less or lower in enzyme or enzyme deficient or overprocessed. So this is the main reason, and again, when you eat the apple and you have to produce more digestive enzymes on your own, you are creating digestive stress, and that creates acidity. This becomes kind of a vicious circle because harmful bacteria thrive in an acidic environment, and when you have that going on, the side effects is that you compromise your immune system, and then you become more susceptible to virus. And then what happens is everyone has like what I call a weak link in their body. It happens that mine is my liver, my husband's was his heart. And so when you compromise the immune system, then you have, you know, over a period of time, damage to whatever your weak organ is. So it all is related. So the idea is that if we eat the super enzyme foods, we are alkalizing the body, and we are directly boosting organ function. And so we're keeping everything working at its optimum. So eat the foods that don't cause digestive stress.
And Claudia, I know that we're getting some feedback on your line. I noticed that you must be a member of Blog Talk Radio. You are a recipient of one of Living Beyond Organic, one of Christina's books. So if you email us through Blog Talk Radio, our site, and befriend us, we will make sure you get that book. Do you have any further questions, Claudia?
No, that helped a lot. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Claudia. Thank you for calling.
So one of the things I found out, Michelle, is that when you're taking these foods in the way that Christina describes them, not only is it good for you, but you actually have more energy and you feel better during the day. You don't have any kind of lulls in the afternoon, and you just start in the beginning of the day, and you at the end of the day you still have energy and you sleep soundly at night. So it's stuff that not only tastes good, not only is good for you, but it actually gives you energy so you can do whatever you want throughout the day.
Thanks, Dr. Mark. One of my questions to you, I know when we met a couple weeks back, Christina, I'm not a salt eater. You know, I try to avoid it like the plague, I guess. I just never liked the taste. But I have become a fan of real salt, and we actually used it on a pasta meal last night, and my grandmother and my mother actually like it now. So can you tell us a little bit about the difference? Because that's white, too. So one would think that what's the difference between that and your traditional salt, but could you give us a little bit of education there on the brand Real Salt that you use in your book?
Absolutely. Real Salt is one of the first things that I will ask my readers to change in the book, and that is, you know, it's the first thing that I recommend for you to switch from iodized table salt to real salt, and the reason is because iodized table salt literally is a toxin. And when you cook with it, you basically are contaminating all of your food. So the reason for this is that it is an overprocessed chemical, sodium chloride. But when they overprocess it, it's a heat process, they bleach it, they strip it of any pre-existing minerals. Because literally salt comes from, you know, it's mined from the earth. If it's from a Dead Sea, and of course you can get sea salt, and I'll go into that in a second. But the most important thing to know about salt is that the iodized table salt is extremely overprocessed, and they reintroduce iodine into it. This is a synthetic process, and the body is organic, and the body absorbs nutrients from things from their food source more readily and easily than a synthetic source, something that's been overprocessed. we literally create, again, that digestive stress. And our body has to work overtime to try and break it down and absorb it. So you want to make it as easy as possible on the body by getting these nutrients from the food. Now, real salt happens to be better than regular sea salt because it was a sea 3 million years ago, and it's mined out of the ground now in Redmond, Utah, and it is simply mined and crushed and ground up. That's it. It is not processed in any way other than to grind it up, and they have a coarse grind and a regular grind and a fine grind and a powder and all that, but it is loaded with trace minerals. It literally has over 50 trace minerals. So when you're taking this salt into your body, you're remineralizing. So you can even take it after you work out, balance your electrolytes. You can I use this to balance my biorhythms when I'm traveling because, you know, constipation is a common problem when you travel. You get dehydrated and you just, you know, don't sleep the same and all that, getting used to a new place. You take half a teaspoon of this in a glass of water, and it stimulates peristalsis and helps you to regulate your bowel movements. I bathe in it to remineralize and to detoxify because it draws toxins out of the body when you bathe in it. My husband gargles with it first thing in the morning before he does anything because it literally draws out all of the toxins that your tonsils accumulate throughout in your resting hours. And this is a great advantage because when you do that, those toxins don't have to travel through your whole digestive tract when you swallow them and, you know, eat them with breakfast. I mean, I don't want to sound a little, but, you know, it's very important to get those things out. So this is a product that wears many, many hats in our house, and I talk about each and every one of those uses in the book, and it's readily available. You can find it in your health food store, you know, and places, and, of course, livingbeyondorganic.com as well.
Well, then I have a question for Dr. Mark. Traditionally, you know, we're brought up to, you know, limit our salt intake because of heart attacks and things of that nature. If real salt is a condiment to redefining the nutrition of our journey with Living Beyond Organic, why would this salt be any different than your traditional salt that increases our chances of heart attacks, et cetera?
Because the salt that has been processed and everyone sees on the table that's been bleached white, the body can't actually break it down. And your body has a need for sodium, potassium in its chemical reactions in certain balances. So with real salt, you actually get a substance which the body can assimilate, break down, and use to help with the different important physiological functions. So the scientists have just noticed people eat a lot of salt, table salt. They were just getting sick. Their body would just hold water in, and it wasn't doing anything healthy for the body. And, you know, with too many fluids in the body, you know, you have increased blood pressure, increased cardiac stress. So with real salt, you get a substance which the body can actually utilize. And so that's the big difference, is that your body can break down and utilize the chemicals in real salt, where table salt, it just can't. It's just an inert compound, and your body can't assimilate it.
Let me ask this also of you, Dr. Mark. You know, you obviously have come out as a health professional that endorsed Christina's book. Why do you think, and especially with arthritis and rheumatic diseases, you know, it was years before the Arthritis Foundation released a complimentary alternative book to their members? And why do you think it's so difficult to get healthcare professionals, whether it's chiropractic or MDs, to take part in things that are not necessarily complementary, but basically are natural ways of living?
You know, that's a very good question. I heard a friend of mine, Joe Mercola, talk about that. There's so much information that's out there now. I mean, literally, every day there are hundreds of articles and research studies that are being published every single day. And if you're a doctor and you care about your patients and you want to keep up to date on this stuff, and let's say every night before you go to bed you read two articles, at the end of the year you're like 100 years behind your reading. You just can't take all the information in. So what tends to happen with a lot of the traditional medical professionals is that they rely on their friendly neighborhood drug rep who comes into the office to give them the information that they think they need. And so they're really getting a slant and a bias toward the drug side of solutions as opposed to the natural, healthy, organic side solutions. So the information is out there, and any medical doctor who's had an insight and started looking for it because either they've been driven to it or they've been exposed to it, just like Tina, she discovered all this information that's out there, and there's lots of research that shows and proves that it works. So once you look for it and you find that there's scientific proof that it does work, then you just can't go back. You just can't go back to the old way, which doesn't really fix the problem so much as just kind of covers them up and hides them.
You know, like I stated in the beginning, I've lived since I was 17 years old with arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia, and nowadays osteoarthritis. And it was all caused by an infection in my body when I was 17. And so I've always looked for that, you know, miracle drug or what have you. I have found throughout the years if I avoid, you know, no tomatoes, no potatoes, and the starchy things, I feel better. When I started this program, I became vegetarian. I felt better, you know, things of that nature. But last night, listening to 2020 and Barbara Walters with Patrick Swayze, who passed away this week, he made it known that he wasn't going to down all of the herbal supplements and those type of things, but he was more focused in what kind of foods went into his body instead, because that was more natural. He wasn't going to take 50 pills. What is the difference between living beyond organic on a food basis rather than all the supplements, whether it's juices, whether it's pills and vitamins and things of that nature that people tend to utilize?
Michelle, are you asking me this question? Or?
Either one.
Yeah, we both got great answers for it.
Yeah.
How about both? Christina, you want to take it first?
Sure. I'll give you a kind of a Reader's Digest version here. The big difference, really, is that, as I explained earlier, the body is an organic being that requires nourishment and hydration and a balance of many things in order to be healthy. And we haven't even gotten into the other aspects that are not nutrition related, but just having fun and being in the sun and all of those other things play a factor as well. But as far as the what we take into the body, the most easy for the body to work with are those things, those foods that contain the nutrients that we need from a food source, okay? And those that are the least processed and the least exposed to chemically amended soils and pesticides and genetic modification and all of those things that I talk about in the book, because when we genetically modify something or expose it to pesticides or overprocess it or even overcook it, okay, our body is posed with a digestive challenge, okay? And so it's hard enough, even if you're eating the right foods, it's hard enough for the body to deal with digestion. I mean, digestion is literally the hardest thing your body has to do. So you want to give it every advantage possible by providing it with the fresh, good ingredients that it can work with. When you take supplements, okay, these are things that have been processed, refined, cooked, encapsulated, and if you read the label on these supplements, I mean, just the coating of it is going to have gelatin, it's going to have all of these, you know, it's going to even have carnauba wax, for heaven's sakes. I mean, that goes on cars, okay? That doesn't have any nutritional value, and it doesn't help the body. It either is going to get stored as a toxin in your adipose tissue, or you're going to try and eliminate it. Well, when the body tries to eliminate things, it literally has to encapsulate them in mucus, okay, to try and get them out. When you have an overproduction of this, that's when we start getting all of this plaque on the colon walls, and then the colon walls literally become clogged with all of this plaque, and then over time it putrefies, it solidifies, it petrifies. And you have, you know, irritable bowel syndrome, and you have Crohn's disease, and you have all of these problems where you're not even able to digest food at all. So the most important thing is that you try to keep supplements, especially those that are in capsules and tablets and all of those things, to a minimum, and try and get those nutrients that the body needs from supplements that are from a food source and easily digested. So, for example, the B complex that I recommend, because that is one supplement that I do take, it's a liquid form, it's from a food source, and it is with potassium, because in order for the body to assimilate a vitamin B complex supplement, it requires those three things. It must be from a food source, it must be with potassium, and be the full spectrum of B, not just isolating, let's say, B12, which is really popular with in the media. So I hope that sheds a little light there for you.
What about you, Dr. Mark? Did you have a comment on?
Oh, absolutely. And Patrick Swayze, I was very affected by his death, but there were so many things he did in his past life which ruined his liver and his pancreas, which created an unreversible healing situation for him. And hopefully all of us will just learn, it's much easier to prevent these type of things than to actually try to run around at the end and try to cure them. And we'll miss him very much. He was a great talent. But they have a great word you'll start to see more and more often called phytonutrients. And phyto means plant. And basically it's nutrition found in plants, whether it be fruits or vegetables. And the reason they just use that term, phytonutrients, is there are so many nutrients that they haven't even been able to find and categorize and classify yet in whole foods, that eating real whole healthy foods gives you this stuff that they can't even begin to categorize yet, and they haven't found yet. And if you process it, either by juicing it or by putting it into a pill form, you're going to find that it's not going to be as good for the body, because your body is looking for stuff in those whole foods that Christina encourages you to eat. So you can't really substitute real food, and the closer you get to real food, the better.
Thank you. Just for our listeners, if you'd like to call in and ask a question, the call-in number is 347-838-8622. We'll give one more book of Living Beyond Organic away today. Again, number is 347-838-8622. And I wanted to read a comment that was sent in to Christina by Amanda. She stated, "I can't believe how this book has changed my life. From being diagnosed with Crohn's disease and all the wrong habits, overweight, and lack of energy, this book has breathed new life and meaning and carried over into almost every area of my life. I'm so grateful for your wisdom and easy of reading, and with pleasant surprise at the ease from fast foods, salads to true healthy cooking. And you don't have to be a chef to do it. Wow, thank you, Christina, for making my life and my family's life so much better. Even my children love the food, and I've seen amazing changes in their ability to concentrate and focus, getting better grades, less hyper, and much happier dispositions. So thank you, Christina, and I anticipate your next book being as a success." That's from Amanda. We thank Amanda for sending that in. One of the questions, Living Beyond Organic, why is it that the healthier way we try to eat, and again, I'm not a health professional here, but I would think that something that is fresh and natural for you, that doesn't take labor to install things that are bad for us, would cost less than adding any more crap to the stuff we're already eating, if you excuse my disposition. why is it that things that have less cost more?
I think it's...
Sorry, I caught you off guard.
I think it's, you know, I think what it is that there's a great demand right now for organic foods. And the reason is because people are finding out what the conventional produce and conventional fruits and vegetables are exposed to, and people are, they naturally gravitate toward the healthier choice. They just do, and it's common sense. But what happens is, you know, economics plays a factor in all of this, and when there's a demand, the demand goes up, the price goes up, and also the cost of producing things that are not genetically modified is very high, and the cost for even labeling something that is organic is very, very high, because you have to get, you know, certification, and that costs a lot of money for these farmers to qualify for that. So the cost of production of the thing is a factor, and also the demand increase is a factor. But there are solutions to this, and that is that, you know, rather than buying something that's already made, let's say like organic almond butter, for example. I mean, I have seen organic raw almond butter, and I won't tell you where, but it's a store, and everybody goes there, and everybody spends money there. But it's in the refrigerated section, and they charge $30 a jar.
Oh my goodness.
For this. Now, I can tell you that in my book, there is a recipe for almond butter, and you can go to, you know, any store of your choice and buy bulk, you know, almonds, raw almonds. And if you have a food processor at home, you can make almond butter, and it takes 5 minutes, and it's so easy. And it's going to cost you the cost of the pound of almonds, you know.
It's going to cost you the cost of a gallon of gas.
Well, then, of course, then there's another solution, and that is to buy almonds from Living Beyond Organic, because I can ship them anywhere in the country. So that's why I think you know, e-commerce websites are going to be more popular, because people don't want to take the time, effort, and spend the gas money to get to all of these stores. So you know, to make it more convenient for people, I did start an e-commerce website, and you certainly can log on there and order things and for a minimum order, we even have free shipping. But the point is that you can make it yourself, and you can, you know, avoid a lot of the exorbitant costs that are really only growing on a daily basis. But there are answers. And the other answer is, you know, shop at your local farmers' market. It's an experience. Be more part of getting the groceries and everything, because it's all part of, you know, meeting the local farmers, you know, getting the freshest produce, because when you go to the farmer's market, it's fresher, it's been freshly picked, enzymatically it's richer, and you are getting a better price because you're eliminating the middleman, you're getting it, you know, directly from the growers, and so the cost is far better than going to a market.
We have a couple callers on the line, so I'm going to patch them through in a second. We work through Seroptimus International here in the Portland, Washington area with a market similar to that of the markets mentioned today, but they're called New Seasons. And I know that the majority, they have 9 stores, and the majority of the food in the produce section are based of local farmers, which you don't tend to see too much anymore in your traditional supermarkets. So it's always best to shop local, too, and you'll get fresher produce. We're going to take a call from Oregon right now. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Actually, it was more that... about canola oil, and it's just one of my biggest pet peeves of people out there saying it's the healthiest oil, and all of the advertisements and marketing that make it seem like it's healthy. And, you know, now that I'm eating a peak whey and trying to explain to people, you know, what peak is all about and how I've changed my way of eating, You know, it's hard for me to explain canola oil and how it's made and why it's not healthy, and I was hoping that Christina could maybe touch on that a little bit.
Christina?
That's a great question, and I appreciate the call. Yes, canola oil is one of those examples of a product that has been hyped in the media as a healthy, good-for-you, all-purpose cooking oil. The reality of canola oil is that it, in fact, is one of the most genetically modified oils on the planet. It is made from a seed called the rapeseed. It is very, very, very toxic, and it is not something that you want to use for cooking or for anything. But because it is inexpensive, and I don't want this to sound like a conspiracy theory or anything, but it is one of the most the cheapest oils, basically. Okay, and
mm-hmm.
so they maximize profits by taking a product that's inexpensive and mass produced, and they say, hey, this is really, really good for you, and it's in everything. If you go into any of the health food stores and you read the label, it'll say canola oil. That's the oil of choice of a lot of companies because they are subscribing to the mass media hype. They're not looking beyond that. The reality of the situation is you want to use an oil for cooking that is high heat and that is from a food source. My recommended all-purpose oil, the Living Beyond Organic Super Alternative, is safflower oil. Safflower oil comes from safflowers, okay? And they're little flowers, and they have a high oil content, and it happens to be a high heat cooking oil is good because it's not going to oxidize and go rancid, basically, up to 450 degrees. So it's an excellent cooking oil for that reason, and also because it has a very, very mild flavor, so it's not going to influence the taste of your recipes. And then also there's sunflower oil, which is a good one as well, but it has a little bit more flavor to it. And, of course, coconut oil is excellent. But, again, notice the pattern here. Sunflowers, sunflower oil comes from sunflowers. Coconut oil comes from coconut. This canola oil comes from this genetically modified seed that is just, not offering the body any nutrients. So it really is the first thing you want to eliminate in terms of cooking oils. And the other thing I have to say on the subject of oils is that don't cook with olive oil. Olive oil is amazing. It's wonderful. It's enzymatic. It's one of the best things for your body, both inside and out, but not for cooking because it is so highly enzymatic. Once you cook that oil, you destroy all of the nutrients and the beneficial properties of it.
Oh, wow. I never knew that.
Yes. So you want to avoid canola oil altogether and replace it with safflower oil, and you want to stop cooking with olive oil and just use it for your salads. And then after the cooking process, it's absolutely fine. You know, if you have a soup and you want to add olive oil, or a sauce, you want to add olive oil, absolutely fine after you've cooked it.
A caller from Oregon, we'll have Christina call you back for your address also because you're going to be the recipient of one of her books, Living Beyond Organic. So thank you for your question today.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have another caller on the line from the San Gabriel Valley. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Christina, it's Kelly. Hi, Dr.
Hey.
Anthony, it's Kelly. How are you?
Hi.
Hi. Listen, I just wanted you to tell the viewers, listeners, a little bit about bison and how great it is for you and what special properties that it has. I know, when I met you 17, I was, a vegetarian for 22 years and very much against eating any kind of an animal, especially red meat. And my first opportunity that I had it was a great experience because I didn't have any kind of a food sensitivity or a food allergy to it. And I wanted you to tell everybody, you know, what the benefits are of eating buffalo and bison and the differences between the two.
Well, buffalo is actually indigenous to India, and bison is indigenous to is a Native American breed, and they are two different animals. And in fact, you can log on to Google and you'll see there's specific differences in physiology and all sorts of things. But the point of it is that you can use the meat of the bison, and the buffalo milk is actually excellent as well. So the first thing I would have to say is that, yeah, people definitely avoid red meat, and the red meat that we're usually referring to is beef, and I support that 100%, not just because of the way beef, the cows are grown chemically amended with, growth hormones and subsequent antibiotics and all of these things, that there's a whole process that goes on, and you can, you know, see movies about it and get more information. But the point of avoiding beef is not just that. It's the genetic modification and all of the chemical amendments, but in addition, it's the saturated fat content that is actually a toxin for the body. Bison, on the other hand, is highly digestible and contains CLA, conjugated linoleic acid, much like wild-caught salmon. And it has omega-3 long-chain fatty acids, much like salmon. And so this is actually a heart-healthy food, and I'm grateful to the studies that have been done and released on the fact that if you simply replace beef with bison and eat it 2 to 3 times a week, you can lower your LDL. And so I think that's not a common fact that's out there in the media. I'm grateful to see that more stores are carrying it, but I want people to know why. And I'm so glad you asked the question, because it's not just about, you know, having the same cut as in beef, so you can have a bison steak or a bison burger, or a bison, ribs, or whatever. Yes, you can have all of those things that you're used to and familiar with, but you're getting the added bonus of the wonderful flavor and all of the taste you're familiar with, and it's good for you. So it's a win-win.
Dr. Mark, do you have any comment on that question?
Yeah, it's tasty, and it's around, and you know what? If you substitute it with your kids, they have no idea they're eating something good. And that's one of the beauties of what Christina does, is that, you know, you go to so many nutritionists and just say, okay, stop eating salt, stop eating white flour. So, and it's like this whole, oh, you took away my favorite things. And with Christina, yeah, you still get your favorite things. And so instead of having this lack mentality, you have this, oh, I get to still enjoy life.
Thank you for your question, caller. Do you have any other questions, Kelly?
I just wanted to ask her, ask Tina, could you explain the difference between the grass-fed and the grain-fed? Because I know that if you go to your website, you can order and have it drop-shipped. But can you explain why you are with this company as opposed to buying the other kinds of buffalo or bison that are out there?
Yes. Kelly's referring to the fact that I'm an affiliate of North Star Bison, and the reason is because I've done a lot of research on bison farms and bison ranchers. And this is the one company that I felt comfortable with. They're a family-owned and operated company, but more than that is that they are 100% grass-fed and finished, which is very, very important, because what is happening is a growing trend in the bison industry that they're trying to get it to compete with beef in the fatty tenderized flavor that you get from beef. And what they do is they start to feed it grains 45 days prior to slaughter in order to do what they call tenderizing on the hoof. And what that does is it causes a fermentation process, because they're intended to eat grass, and when you give them grains, the fermentation causes the meat to start to break down. What happens is you might get a tender cut of meat, but you are not getting the benefits of the CLA and the omega-3s and all of the reasons you're eating the bison, because it actually inhibits the body, your body, from utilizing and assimilating the nutrients, because now you're taking a fermented product into the body, something that's already breaking down, and it inhibits that absorption of the good stuff. So it's very important that if you switch from beef to bison, that you look for one that is 100% grass-fed and finished. That is a very, very key term.
Thank you, Kelly. Any other questions for Tina or Dr. Mark?
No, that'll do it.
Thank you for calling in, and thank you for introducing me to Tina also. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm trying to introduce the world to her.
Thank you, Kelly. I just wanted to let everyone know, I know that the show has ended on the streaming. The show will continue for a few more minutes. If you've called in and you'd like to ask a question, please just call the number right now. Otherwise, visit Christina at livingbeyondorganic.com or lborganic.com. She has a wonderful restaurant survival kit and a lot of other great items online that you can purchase, including wonderful coffee and wonderful teas. Dr. Mark's website is acwellnessandlongevity.com, a wonderful chiropractor, hypnotist, and obviously a medical professional that believes in living beyond organic. So visit both of their websites. Dr. Mark and Christina, do you have any last thoughts that you'd like to leave the listeners with?
I would say that for all of those that are still listening, Living Beyond Organic is a lifestyle. It's the lifestyle that will help you to create balance in your life, not only with the foods, because the foods are really just the first step, but with the whole gamut of things that encompass a healthy lifestyle, and that includes how you take care of your home, what you use to clean, the water you drink. I mean, there's just so many other areas that we didn't even get to touch on. So it's so much more than just the food, but the food is definitely the crucial first step.
Yeah, I have to say that literally our bodies are genetically programmed to be healthy and happy, but you have to give it the nutrients so it can heal itself and repair itself. And when you feed it well and you exercise well and you are happy and think well, then your body just stays healthy.
Thank you, Dr. Mark, and thank you to our listeners and our callers that called in, and congratulations to the three individuals that will be receiving Christina's book, the first of many to come, Living Beyond Organic, Nutritional Knowledge Redefined. Our next show for Tea Time with Tina, we will let you know, so keep visiting blogtalkradio.com/helpingheroes, and we'll let you know the next time shows. But also our next show for Voices for Justice will be September 30th. That's September 30th, Voices for Justice will be spotlighting some of the active missing children's cases. So join us then. Thank you for everyone that's called in, and thank you to our guests again. Everyone have a great week.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.